Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. It is an honor to join with you this morning in recognizing God's work through the life of our church over these past number of years. And in our morning of celebration, of remembrances, of singing, sing with me the opening lines of our song. You came from heaven to earth.
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We have come one last time in this place as this community to honor and praise your name. We bless you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We anticipate these moments together this morning to be filled with a deep sense of appreciation for you and for the ministry that Evangel has had. Bless us in every way, for we desire to honor you and lift up your name. For your good, for our good and your glory, I ask and pray through Jesus. Amen.
I'm sorry that I just don't stick to the lines. I'm going to read the Lord's word, but guide me, O thy great Jehovah. The words, open now thy crystal fountain, whence the healing streams will flow. That's my prayer. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord, for the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one that takes refuge in him. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person might have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. The word of the Lord.
Part of the joy and responsibility of being a worship leader is that you get to pick the music. And so I did today, and our next hymn, not only fitting for the ceremony of baptism, but one of my favorites, and was sung at the farewell service of my very first church back in 1984 as we left from there to travel on to Wisconsin before here. Join us again as we sing.
Oh, It is immensely fitting that we conclude our services here today both with communion and with baptism, the two ordinances that we as Baptists affirm with a strong biblical base and deep appreciation. We had a baptism last week, if you were here, and I commented to all of you right before Colleen came up to share words with me that this would be our final baptism, as her and Jack's wedding were the final wedding here at Evangel on June 16th. Her baptism would be the final one on July 16th. And then I said, unless someone else decides to get baptized this week. Well, apparently, those words found fertile soil, at least in one family here this morning. And Pia and Rain Tika have decided to follow the Lord in baptism in response to His call upon their lives. And their father will have the privilege of performing the actual act of baptism this morning. So Rain and Pia, I'm going to invite you to come up with me. The first of a parade of people, undoubtedly, that will be on the platform this morning. I'm going to have each of you take one of those microphones and come stand with me. You may stay there if you can hear me. You are both doing a wonderful thing, spiritually helpful, deeply meaningful, not only to all of us here at this church who have come to know you and love you, but also to your parents and most of all to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved you and redeemed you and whose life you are following. And we pray, as your American church family, that your continuing life with Him would be marked by many things that will start with your baptism today. I will have you respond to me to these questions that I will be asking. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And do you accept Him as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you desire to express publicly the faith in God through Jesus that you already possess, knowing that it is His grace through that faith that brings you to Him and not the act of baptism?
I do.
Do you promise by the Spirit's enabling to live in humble obedience to God's principles, knowing that when we sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one?
I do.
And finally, are you now ready to seal these very serious and solemn promises by the act of baptism through immersion as a sign of your confession of faith and commitment for life?
I am.
Let me pray for you before I let you go to the tank. How blessed we have been with this family, O Lord. And how special to celebrate this act today. These two young lives are representative of so many who have journeyed through the doors of this church to follow Jesus Christ in faith and in baptism and service. Bless this ceremony to their lives and their memory of this day for your glory. I pray through Jesus. Amen.
Would get baptized already when you just It's my joy and honor to baptize my children. You know, they've known the Lord in this church, and I would just like to thank you for your contribution in their spiritual growth. Okay, Irene. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world? Do you believe that He died for you and that He rose again the third day and is now seated at the right hand of God?
I do.
What is your confession of faith?
Jesus is Lord.
Because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world?
I do.
Do you believe that He died for you, that He arose the third day, and that He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God?
I do.
What is your confession of faith?
Jesus is
Lord. Because of your confession of faith, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for the privilege of baptizing my children. Thank you, Lord God, because you have made them grow in grace and in their faith. We thank you, Lord God, for the contribution of this church to mold them to be the people that you want them to be. We pray that you would help them to grow in grace. We pray that you would use them mightily in your service. Thank you again, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand together with us.
Reading from God's Word from Philippians, first chapter. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in my defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. So reads the word.
We also will have an open mic at the luncheon today, and those of you that didn't get a chance to share a few words up here will be able to chance to do that downstairs at our luncheon. I will tell you that I am going to be watching the clock up here. There is a definite connection between clock and spiritual work in American churches, and in our tradition, that's just what we have to do. So be thoughtful, and if you want to use the guidelines that are in your worship folder today, they could be helpful. Shorter is greater. But we do want to hear from you. I came home Thursday evening from church, and as I was emptying matters out of my minivan, I saw a sheet of paper sitting in the back seat of my car. I didn't recognize it from some place. I've traversed with a lot of things to and from the office. But I opened up the sheet of paper and found in it a letter. Don't know how it got there, don't know when it got there, but it got there. For those of you who knew Dave Kiefer, a young teenager who found his way to our church several years ago, it was a letter from Dave to us. I thought I would read that this morning. Evangel will always have a special place in my heart. It was the first Bible-believing, Christ-preaching church I attended. I am glad to have had such wonderful fellowship and to have followed the Lord in baptism. Since I began coming in 2014 as a 10th grader, mind you, I've had the privilege of getting to know many of you. Hearing your testimonies of what the Lord was doing in your lives really gave me encouragement. I look back fondly on fellowship after each service, where coffee, fruit, and cakes would often suffice as a late breakfast for me. Meeting for men's fellowship at McDonald's Thursday morning was also great and worked out well. I could cut across Roosevelt Road and get to school in seconds. He was a student at St. Francis Catholic High School. Coming from a background where religion was ritualistic, consisting of going through the motions and vain repetitions without the gospel of our Lord, it was a breath of fresh air to know what church ought to be, and to be with believers who trusted in Christ's finished work as I did. I pray this letter finds you well, and that you will continue all to serve the Lord wherever you're headed next. I don't know how many of you I'll end up crossing paths with again in this life, but I was glad to have been an encouragement to you and to have been encouraged by you, Dave Kiefer. In a church full of grandmas and grandpas, what courage does it take for a 16-year-old to walk into our door and stay? And he did with great joy. Millie Serber was a longtime special interest missionary and shared both a phone call on Friday and this note to us as well. You're all my brothers and sisters in Christ and have been for many years since I lived in Wheaton in the late 60s. And I visited you on every home assignment while I was a missionary in Japan. It breaks my heart to know that my gracious family at Evangel will no longer be there. I'm ever so thankful that the Lord led me to visit Wheaton in October 2015 and to be at the church several times that week and to stay with Al and Audrey Smith, who informed me of the direction that Evangel was taking. I've had many, many fond memories of wonderful times of fellowship with you folks and many others that have gone ahead to glory. With loving thoughts and prayers, Millie Serber. Just a couple of notes that we've received from those who could not be here today and shared their time. Click. The clock just started for sharing time right now. So, Devere, you are an efficient man. So, grab a microphone because we'll need to hear.
This is the Bible. This Bible is presented to Devere Curtis at the time of his ordination, June 17, 1984, by the ordaining church, Evangel Baptist, Wheaton, Illinois, and signed by Bill Reed, David McKinnon, Harold Stolpe, Ronald Itano, Paul Stenstrom, Jim Wendt, and Paul Ash. Those were halcyon days, I guess, at the church, and I'm sure many people here will remember those names. I just messaged David, our son, who came here during his college years, and he said, My memories of Evangel include sitting in the pew with Grandma Christensen, Corrine Christensen, who came here when she moved to Windsor, and whose service was held here. And he said, my other memories are of Miss Evie and Phil Schober and the third grade Sunday school class. So those are some Curtis memories of Evangel.
Thank you.
Randy?
Coffee break and softball. That was our introduction to Evangel. Paul and Joni were good friends at Bethel and said, hey, how would you like to come to these activities? And Gail and I were actually still going to Meadows Baptist Church in Rolling Meadows. But we thought, well, we'll try those activities out. I enjoyed playing softball. I joined Paul and the team 34 years ago. And I was thinking yesterday about some of the guys that we played with, because I really enjoyed playing with them. Obviously, I did, because I continued for 25 years on the softball team. But some of those early members were Paul Van Gorkum, Eric Sauter, Tim Hoffer, Harvey Hansen, Dave Smith, Gary Keeney, Bill Evans. He's here today, and Bill looks like he could still play. He said he's got his glove and his spikes in the car. And Tim Kluckman. Shortly thereafter, we started our youth movement, and I have to laugh when I say youth movement because I think all these guys are in their 40s today, but Kenny McNeil, Scott Johnson, Todd Evans, Mark Bradbury joined us. Additional players like Greg Malaskis, Nate Hinch, Steve Taylor joined our team. And my real joy was being able to keep my body moving and keep playing so I could see these second-generation players come along like Ryan Dorn, Andy Tejan, Matt and Bob Van Gorkum, Peter Malaskis, Mark Malaskis, Kyle Fogwell, and our most famous player was Bill Newell. Bill played into his 60s and was an inspiration to all of us. And with some comments on coffee break, Gail would like to make a couple of comments.
So in the early 80s, Joni and I retired from full-time employment to raise our newborn baby boys, Ryan and Bobby, and Joni said, you have to come to coffee break with me. So I did, and I loved it. Women of all ages, from all walks of life, studying the Bible, learning about features, socializing together. One of my favorite features was when Ron Schlaman would help us make floral arrangements that we got to bring home. We might put them on a table or hang them on a door. But that was the highlight of the year. And Nona, and for her faithful commitment and vision for Coffee Break, and how she touched so many lives through the years. So when our kids got a little bit older and wanted to start bringing friends to church, we realized that we needed to find a church home closer to where we lived. And Evangel was a natural choice. We already had friends there. We didn't even look anywhere else. And so almost 25 years ago, we started attending Evangel and became members and were involved in multiple activities and areas of service. Well, 11 years ago, we moved to San Antonio, Texas with Randy's job, and we found a great church, but it was big. And many Sundays, we would go and we wouldn't see anybody we knew. And what a joy it was when we came back to this area to visit Evangel and to borrow a line from the song from the Cheers TV show, where everybody knew your name and we're always glad you came. And for us, Evangel was much more than a place to go on Sundays or during the week. It was a diverse body of believers who loved the Lord and who genuinely loved each other and cared for each other.
Hi, I'm Katie Gunderson, and I'm married to Bill Gunderson, whose parents started here in 1960. And I miss Evangel very much. I love the hymns more than any other music in the world. And I say that's one of my greatest treasures here. And I had the great honor and privilege of being asked by Warren Magnuson to read scriptures here on Sunday mornings. And that was one of the biggest honors of my life. I love the Bible with all my heart. I can't live without it. And I'll always miss that.
Audrey Smith and my Al and I came here, it'll be 49 years ago this August. We bought our house after we established where we would go to church. So we would be close by, and our four children could easily attend clubs and youth groups. I really appreciated the blended music, like no other church in Wheaton. And we came back because we had friendly people here. And so we decided that this is the place for us. Also, I appreciated Pastor's preaching of God's word and his knowledge of the whole Bible and his quick mind and recall. And I appreciated Pastor Dave and Jenny's lives lived out the gospel. And they believed and they walked in the Lord. And one example of what Pastor Dave taught me while I was here was about Jesus being the light of the world. He was the light of the world in creation. He was the light of the world when he walked on earth. And he'll be the light of the world when we're back in heaven. And that continuity and his knowledge of the word blessed me a great deal. And I just would like to read Revelation 20, verse 5. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And I'm looking forward to that time. While I was here, I worked mainly in coffee break, and I also started Heart to Heart, which is an older woman and a younger woman getting together once a month and learning to love one another. I appreciate the fact that we were in a small church where we could use our talents and not just sit in the pew. And so I really love Evangel. I hate to see it go where it's going. This is the last day. But as Pastor Dave said, it's a wedding, it's a beginning, it's not a funeral. And so new things are ahead for each one of us as we look for a different church. And I'd like to just leave us with that thought.
His holy name. slow to anger. Fame is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, and draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like that.
Hope you'll have a chance to remain around there. We'll enjoy not only catered lunch together, we have a gift to offer to many of you until we run out, and then we've got a way for you to secure those later on. We'll be meeting downstairs in what we call the gym. It used to be called the multi-purpose room, but nobody really calls it that anymore, and we hope you will be able to stay. We invite our team to come and enable us to honor the Lord with this aspect of our lives, our giving. Father, bless these gifts as they are presented. We are grateful for the joy and privilege of showing our love for You in this manner. Bless every gift and every giver. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
I was going through records for our property and found in there a receipt from the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County for an 1890 windmill and 40-foot tower. When Evangel bought the property at 1950 Manchester, which was subdivided so we could have a driveway, and then we sold the property with the house, we had responsibility for taking care of some of the outbuildings on the property, and one of those was this windmill. Little trivia question for this morning. Now I'm going to ask Pastor Dave and Jenny and Gloria and Lee McCullough and Bonnie to come up here, and then we have a few members of our community care board who I would like to join me on this side. You know, when the wife of the pastor is the chair of the community care board, which is usually responsible for doing this kind of thing, it takes a little subterfuge to get it done. So I thank Helen and Aletha, Sandy, the rest of the community care board, who had to try to operate undercover to take care of part of this. But then Jenny was right in there on the other part of it, so my thanks to all of them. A number of weeks ago, most of you received a letter that I sent out providing an update of our situation, informing you of this service, which is why a number of you are here, and making available the opportunity to share a love gift with our staff. And so it's my pleasure as part of this portion of our service today to share those gifts. I wish we could do it in nice, crisp bills, but the way things work, the gift that is being shared with you will appear on your next payroll check or a forthcoming one. They already know that's the case, but we are very happy to say that you folks have been extremely generous, and it's our pleasure to be able to share a monetary gift with each one. I will pass out these notes, which give them a sense of how much we had as of last Sunday, and we'll make adjustments if needed as any more comes in today. And then after I do that, I'm going to ask Helen to make the first presentation of one of the commemorative gifts that the board worked very diligently on, and I think you'll understand why I feel they did such a great job doing this.
Well, Dave and Jenny have faithfully ministered to our church for almost 20 years. That is about half of Dave's entire ministry. So we wanted to give a gift that would signify their service to us and also our appreciation to them. In doing that, we decided that we would commission well-known artist Tim Botts to do a verse for them that we know is significant to them. It's a verse that Dave had as sort of his verse when we celebrated his 40 years of ministry back in December. and we thought it really well described them as well. So I'm going to unveil this. You can see it up above a little bit more clearly. It's Job 23:11, which says, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside." We thought that was just perfect for you.
And next is Gloria. And will you excuse me for reading this so I say what I want to say? How can one sum up so many years of service? Knowing that words are totally inadequate, we simply say thank you for 9 years of excellence in your work for Evangel.
When you were in the building, as they say, we always knew the place was in good hands. When any of us walked into the office, we found a beautiful, welcoming smile. When you answered the phone, there was always a cheerful hello. No job seemed too large or demanding. Every task was done willingly with a servant's heart. Thank you, Gloria. So, we give you a timepiece to remember us by your many years here. It says, Gloria Neal, Administrative Assistant, Evangel Baptist Church, 1998 to 2017. It's 98 on the clock. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people, for she has been helpful to many. From Romans 16, verse 2. Thank you, Gloria. And next is Lee, who was assisted by his lovely wife, Bonnie. Lee, you have been our visitation pastor for 5 years now and have served in that capacity faithfully, willingly, and with a tender heart. As a member of the Community Care Board, I always had the privilege of hearing your reports and catching up on what was happening in the lives of many of our older people, some who have not been able to attend our church for many years. It was evident that you cared deeply about each person you visited, and that you viewed your job as a ministry and a task that had been given to you by God Himself. In many ways, you served as the hands and the feet of each of us who were unable to minister individually. Thank you so much, Lee. We would also like to thank Bonnie, who worked this ministry with you. It was really a team effort. We've decided you two make a good team. Your present comes with a text also. Lee McCullough, Visitation Pastor, 2012 to 2017. Through love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Thank you.
And if our recipients do not mind, I think we will take these down to the, or ask you to take them to the luncheon, and we'll have a table down there and allow you to see them up close. But again, thanks to the Community Care Board for all of the efforts they put out, and for all of you for contributing ideas, for helping out with the love gift to make this a very special occasion. Thank you.
Let us read God's word together again. First from Ephesians 1, then from Ephesians 3, then from Acts 20. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the work of His great might. Skipping to chapter 3, verse 16, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Skipping now to Ephesians 3, verse, Yes, verse 16, 3:16. This is 20, okay. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And now from Acts 20, Paul's farewell to the Ephesians church. But I do not count my life as of any value or as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Skipping to verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. God's word.
Our next hymns are not only an expression, I think, of the staff who have served you and been privileged to do that, but also of us as well as a congregation going forward. I'll ask you to stand again with us. Again, if there are a couple of you that would like to briefly share remembrance, Eric. have a microphone here, Doug. Eric and then June. Handsomeness before maturity today. So.
Well, I don't know how to follow that. Some of us didn't have a choice in this whole matter. We were born into evangel. And Mom just reminded me I was dedicated here. There are many, many memories. Dave, no disrespect, but when I've come back to evangel, I'm actually coming to hear Aletha play. And no disrespect. And Aletha, when I was in eighth grade and we were on furlough from the mission field, actually gave me piano lessons and then agreed to give me organ lessons and gave me a key to the church so I could practice. I think that lasted at least 6 weeks. So there are so many memories. Nona will tell you about me sitting on one of her laps. There are memories of Stockade, if any of you remember that. There are memories of decorating the church at Christmas with Ron down in the gym. And I would just like to leave you with one thing, and that is, from a missionary-minded family, thank you. Thank you for being a mission church. How many thousands or tens of thousands of lives have been impacted by your faithful giving and partnership in missions around the world? How many hundreds of churches have been started around the world because of your faithfulness as disciples? And so in some way, today, each of us is sent once again. And all of you who are regular attenders and have been, I hope that as you leave today, you feel like many of us in missions sent to the world. Thank you.
My name is June Nystrom, and Evangel started as a prayer group in our home in like 1958, and we gathered enough people to start a church. And I'm thinking about all the college students that used to help us. One of them, he said, I can't come because I have to eat breakfast before I come to church. And I said, I will make a little box for you, and when we pick you up, you can have breakfast in the car. But anyhow, we had such support from the college. And I was on the building committee and the decorating committee, and it was really a great experience, and it trained me. When we moved to Missouri, we duplicated the same thing. So anyhow, evangel was training grounds for me. So anyhow, I always figured this church should be on a Kincaid calendar. It's so neat. But anyhow, it's great to be here.
I've been trying to get up here for a long time, and Jim and I have been in this church, we'll be 50 years now in August. This is a very, very difficult day. I think I know every wall. I know every bit of paint. I know the colors of everything. And my daughter said to me, Mom, this is not your home. But it is my home. It's been my home for a long time. Our kids were dedicated here. Our kids were married here. Some of our grandchildren were dedicated here. This is a wonderful place, and God has given us many, many years of blessing. It's very emotionally difficult to think that when we come back from Michigan, there will be no evangel. So now we have to start again, but God is faithful and God is good. And I'd like to thank Dave and Jenny for their friendship for all these years and the wonderful counseling they have given to us and all the people in this church that we really love so much. And it's going to be hard, but God is good and He is with us. Thank you.
My
My name is Bonnie Halcom. I know that all of you have significant times in your lives, such as graduations and weddings and funerals and so forth. And 11 months ago, I lost my beloved husband. And I just will be forever grateful to this church for the way they just surrounded both myself and my family with love and care and so many wonderful things, the calls and the visits prior when my husband was declining. And then on the day of the funeral, the luncheon that the women prepared, and also for Dave's very touching and spirit-filled sermon. So I want to thank all of you for your love and for being my church family. I do love you.
I'm being kind of forced into this. I wasn't going to say anything because there's so much to say. But I will say that when you came to this church the second Sunday morning, they had services in the fairgrounds. And we walked in the door holding about a six-month-old little girl who now is not a little girl anymore. And we walked in, and a man named Len Nystrom, the husband of this lady, who's now with the Lord, took her into his arms, and we never saw her again until after the service was over. That's how good a child she was. But anyway, on the way home, I said, I was a Conference Baptist and was hopeful that this would be our church home, but I didn't know what his would be. And I said, well, Ron, what do you think? Think this might be it? And he said, yes. And that was the beginning of 50-some years of being here and enjoying every minute of it and thankful for all God's blessing and for all of you who have meant so much to us.
We'll again have an open mic downstairs or during the lunchtime, and we will have opportunities for many more of you to share words of encouragement and thought. A couple of letters we'll read downstairs as well, and encourage you accordingly. Bonnie, come and read God's word for us again.
I'm reading another letter that Paul wrote. This is from Colossians 1, verses 3 through 6 and 9 through 14. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of the saints, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and recognized God's grace in the truth. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Him. This is the word of the Lord.
In January, I got an email from the leader of the negotiating team saying that the other church had pulled out, the discussions had ended, and were we still interested in the property? And I said, yes, absolutely. And so we reengaged, and they had our offer. And So we had to just wait and see. And I've got to tell you, you know, as our board met with their negotiating team, it was really amazing because we, every time we had just a sense of God's presence with us, a sense of a common heart. You know, they had a vision. They wanted to see the property used to advance the kingdom and spread the gospel in the Winfield and Wheaton area. And that's our heart too. And so we felt that connection. And then we were waiting for them to kind of give a counter offer to our offer. And I kind of expected it to be something that would be out of our reach, frankly. And I was praying, and I remember saying, Lord, I would love it if they would come back to us with an offer that was so good or so generous to us that we could actually improve our offer back to them. And that's exactly what happened. They came back to us with a number of different alternatives, all of which they were obviously stretching to be gracious, stretching to be generous to make it work for us. And so we got those and we looked at the options and prayed over them, picked one, and we were able to come back and actually offer more money per month than we had in our original offer because they were so generous with us. Now, it's kind of a funny thing because that's not normal negotiations. In fact, one of our board members came out of a meeting and he's a businessman. He looked at me and said, Dave, you know, this is not normal. This is not how negotiations normally go. Usually each party is trying to get the biggest advantage they can and has backup plans in case they have to back out and gives them a little leverage. It wasn't like that at all. It was like both sides trying to outdo one another in grace and in generosity. I came away from some of those meetings going, man, this only happens in God's kingdom. This is just really God's hand on it. And within 8 weeks, we had an agreement on price, on terms, on structure of the deal, on everything. Now, 8 weeks might sound like a long time to you, I don't know. But to give you some perspective, previously they had talked to one church about a merger for 9 months. This other church, I think they had talked with for 6 or 7 months and had never been able to come to agreement. For us, within 8 weeks, we had everything sorted, nailed down, agreement that everybody felt really good and excited about. That's not normal. And, you know, we've continued to see God's hand on it. I feel like God is opening up doors of opportunity for us. We went back, actually, to the college, who is our renter, and asked if they would be willing, as an act of grace to us, just to help us out, to give us a break on the rent we're paying. Because, you know, we know when moving in, even though they've kept up the building really well, there's going to be some work to do. There's going to be some updating in the driveway or the parking lot needs to get fixed, things like that. So we know we're going to need to put some money together for that. And they said yes. And it was a generous break that now we can add to our building fund. It's just another example of how God's had his hand on it. From just hearing about it, to the way negotiations went, to the timing with the permits so we didn't spend those money, to the rent break, and just the overall spirit of the relationship we've developed with the folks at Evangel. We've seen God's hand. And I say that because the thing that really strikes me and I'm excited about is that while we're buying a building, this really isn't about a building. It's about God opening up doors and opportunities for more ministry that will touch more people and change more lives. And really, that's what I'm excited about, much more so than just owning a building. So I want to invite you to come and be part of what's happening. You know, God is clearly at work. He's at work in us and through us, and he has his hand in this process. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen down the line as we get in and God begins to expand the ministry. So I want to encourage you to come along and become part of it. Get involved, you know, give, serve, plug in. But come and join us. We're on a fun ride right now.
Amen. I have a feeling that when I was younger, I didn't need to move the communion table quite so much to stand behind it. I'm just guessing. I have never done what I'm about to do. That's preach without notes. As a matter of fact, the only words are words on my heart and in my head and on the sheet in front of you, and that will help both keep this to be an effective, timely word for you. We are from evangel. I was driving just this week, and the Lord planted that title in my mind for this meditation as clear as though He'd sent a word from an angel in heaven. We are from evangel. Anytime you say that in our culture, you can mean one of two things. You can mean representation. I am from the insurance company, and I'm here to process your claim. That's a good word. I'm here from human resources. I want to review your benefits. It was a word I remember the hunters in my very first church to say they never wanted to hear. I'm from the DNR, and I'm here too. You can be represented when you say I'm from a place. You also can talk about relocation. I'm from Michigan, meaning you used to live there. I'm from Sweden, a country of origin. Soon I'm going to say I'm from Illinois. Sometimes it simply means I used to live there or I grew up there and I could go back. Other times it means I can never return. There is a little bit of each of those expressions as I think about our position. We are from evangel. We can never go back, but we do represent what was here. I thought about what to share with you. I first was tracking in my mind and heart sort of famous last words and had a chance to look at a few dying last words, actually. I bet you didn't know this, that John F. Kennedy's very last words were, "No, you certainly can't." That was in response to Mrs. John Connolly's comment to him, where she said, "Mr. President, you surely cannot say that the people of Dallas have not given you a warm welcome." "No, you certainly can't," he said, and moments later was killed. Or how about this? "Thomas Jefferson lives." That was the last words of our second president, John Adams, and actually were inaccurate. Thomas Jefferson, that same day, actually died several hours earlier, several hundred miles away. But to his bitter political rival, Adams said, "Thomas Jefferson lives on July 4th, 1826, 50 years to the day from the Declaration of Independence." And just to sort of raise our minds and hearts a little bit, Dolores Hope, in asking her husband, "Where would you like to be buried?" And Bob said, "Surprise me." His death had been inaccurately reported 5 years before from the Associated Press, and he died at age 100 in the year 2003. I thought about famous last words, but really it's the fond farewell idea that I think grips our hearts and minds. And I just found some of these and how well they speak to where we're at today. The author of Winnie the Pooh said, "How lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard." How about this from Dr. Seuss? "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." "Great is the art of beginning," said the poet Longfellow, "but greater is the art of ending." We've tried to do a bit of that today. "So long as the memory of certain beloved friends lives in my heart, I shall say that life is good." This place will be gone for us and very different, but our memories never, never leave us. I don't know who said this, but I sure enjoy it. Goodbyes are not forever. Goodbyes are not the end. They simply mean I'll miss you until we meet again. That has tinges of Christian theology in it, doesn't it? There's an emphasis we want to do today, at least I do as your pastor. And it's taken from Paul's example in Acts chapter 20, the reason why I chose that among many other references to read today. The story of his ministry in Ephesus is a dramatic one. It's told in the chapter immediately before that, as Dr. Luke writes out the dramatic instance of Paul arriving in that city, of anointing some with the gift of the Holy Spirit, of teaching for an extended period of time, of eventually being involved in social disturbance. A public riot took place because of the impact of Christianity. But the Apostle Paul in chapter 20 is leaving this group of people, and he very much wants to share his heart and life with them. And so the story, as it begins in verse 17 or 18 of that very chapter, is Paul opening his heart. It's an unusual thing we perceive from him. who tends to be much more of the thinker and only on occasion seems to open his heart in his writings. But here we see it in actual words recorded by Luke in this gospel. Paul shares his affection with them. He talks about the integrity of his life and how he lived it and the honesty he tried to show. He said, "I have overcome all of the challenges that I faced as a missionary. Despite the tears and challenges and struggles, I wanted to serve, and with joy do I continue my ministry. That will not stop me." He gave them a sense of his affirmations to them. He warned them about the risk and danger of establishing a strong church that affirmed God's word and lived it out with integrity and holiness, the difficulty that would come not just from the culture, but from within their own body. Men like ravenous wolves was his expression. He talked about the power of the joy of Christ and the meaning that that was meant to have to his people. "Stay the course," he said. And finally, at the end, after pouring his heart out, after relaying to them the truth of all that was there, the account tells us that they went to the sandy shore to see Paul depart on the ship. They knelt down. He prayed for them. They wept together. That was me last Sunday. And prayed for one another as they departed. Paul acknowledged to them very openly, "For you, you will never see my face again." I hope that's not my experience with you. I'm not departing for the city of Rome or leaving too far away. We are crossing the cheese curtain by God's grace, but it is yet close, and we hope to see you again. That's exemplified by Paul, and it gave me a mind to encourage you with a couple of things as we depart this morning. Affirm God's leading in this instance. We've tracked this journey on more than one occasion during our times together, and it has been a journey. You've been privileged by God's providence to be part of something very significant. We've watched something unfold, not knowing the end, and now we're at the end. We've seen God work. We have seen God lead. We believe that He is in this. Words from Pastor Dave certainly affirm that from the other side of the equation as to how God has led us. From renewal to realignment to retirement, God has put us in this place. We need to affirm His role. We need to acknowledge our loss. There was nothing unspiritual or untoward or uncomfortable about you saying, as several have already said, it is painful not to know that this church is here in its place as it has been. Next Sunday, that stark reality will become rather evident, won't it? We will be in different places, or here, well, not quite next Sunday, but in a couple of weeks at least, here with a very different structure, very different people. We've come to love the structure of this church, and not, with all due respect to Sister Audrey, the paint and the walls and the carpet and the doors and the pews. That's been warm and comforting, but the structure of what we've become familiar with. The order of service, I hope I've not fallen into a rut, but I've fallen into what I think is the best. I've used a hymn for many years to sort of guide us throughout the worship service, and that's become a comfort to us. There's a sense of structure in how we do things, a structure of anticipation that's been healthy and good and positive. There is a loss of our fellow saints. Some of us will see each other with some frequency, but for many of us, this could be our last face-to-face meeting this side of glory. How wonderful it was to see some of you come back today. Members who were here in my early years here, others who are part of our history, have come back today to acknowledge what God did in this place. From baby dedications to club programs to VBS to ministry to commissioning services, this was a place that God spoke to you, and that is a loss. We should shed a tear. We have lost something well. But so long as the memory of certain beloved friends lives in my heart, I shall say that life is good. And Helen Keller said that without being able to put faces to voices. She spoke a deep and powerful truth. I want you not only to affirm that you've been part of God's story, not only to acknowledge your loss, but to adapt to the change. Adapt to the change. I would give you two words. Carry your memories by conversing regularly. It helps to remember things by speaking about them. Talk and share together as you meet, as you think, in your family units. speak about what this church meant. It will help you remember. Carry your ministry forward and do that quickly. Do not become what's a rising statistic in our culture, the unchurched Christian. The unchurched Christian. A follower of Jesus who feels no deep connection whatsoever to a specific local body. It's an effort to get up on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night and go to church. You're giving up something else. You're choosing to sacrifice because God has called you and claims you as His own. He is Lord of your life. Do so. Several years ago, when we were contemplating the second building project here in our church, I preached a series of messages on spiritual disciplines, what I thought would be helpful ways to really reprioritize what we were about. And so I adapt those partly for your benefit this morning. How do you continue your ministry? I think they are wrapped around four key activities. Public worship. Get to church. Get to church. Your new pastor will love that. Your new treasurer will love that. New boards may love that as well. Get to church. Express public worship with regularity. Personal growth. Be a Christian who is growing and maturing. Continue your activity of reading the Bible as I've encouraged you since the very first year I was here. We've traveled through many Bible reading plans and programs here as I've endeavored to cause you to grow in personal grace and goodness. Grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is how Peter ended one of his letters. It's not enough to depend on your pastor's preaching to cause you to grow in Christ. You need to put forth some effort as well. I'll have a bit more time over the next months than I've had in the last few months, and I've thought about some goals I want to challenge myself to do. 10 chapters a day in the Bible. That's a pretty deep stretch, but I'd like to do that. I'd like to read American history for 1,776 seconds a day. That's about 29 minutes. Doesn't seem far. Number chosen specifically. To talk about and remember how God has worked in our nation's history. Those would be some goals to me. I'd like to become a walker. I told Jenny just yesterday, if I'm going to walk, I need new shoes. Personally grow. Private gatherings. Gail mentioned this morning the challenge of attending a large church and never meeting the same people at consecutive worship services, a reality in many churches. Find a place that's smaller and more private, a small group. How many have been blessed in this church by being part of a small group, as they've laughed together, shared together, prayed together, cried together. Private gatherings. Finally, an expression of practical service. That church that you will be going to, go to serve. We got a very gracious note from Sylvia O'Connor, who only attended this church for just a year or so. The first Sunday she was here, she helped serve Connections. The first Sunday she was here, she'd never darkened the doors, knew absolutely no one, but said, "It looks like you could use some help, and I'd be happy to help." She went from that to attending, to joining, to be a board member, and then she moved away, and that was all accomplished in less than a year and a half. She served. Find a place of service within your church, within your community. Why? Because you are from Evangel. And that's what we do. We worship. We grow. We gather. We serve. We cannot go back to our old church. Oh, a few of us will be here this week for backyard Bible clubs, and my office is not yet empty. But for most of you, we will not be back here. We can go on to serve in a new community. As former baseball announcer and the voice of baseball when I was growing up, Ernie Harwell, 42 years the voice of the Detroit Tigers, and a strong, faithful, and passionate Christian, said, "It's time to say goodbye. But I think goodbyes are sad. I'd much rather say hello. Hello to a new adventure." May others say of us and our values, we are from Evangel. Amen. I'm going to invite our servers to come and let you know that I'm a little nervous about what's going to happen personally. In 41 years of pastoral ministry, I have never done what I'm about to do, serve communion. I've handed communion, I've prayed for communion, I've led communion many hundreds of times, but this morning I've asked specifically to serve communion. Stu, I'd like to ask you, if you could, to pray for the bread.
Fathers, we gather this morning and realize that this will be the last time that we in this body come together for communion. We do so with the knowledge that around the world there are millions who gather in this way, and that we will leave this place and go to others and share in this ceremony that you taught us to do. And so we pray now that your Spirit would be upon us as we reflect on your sacrifice, and thank you so much for it. We pray this in your name. Amen.
On the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he blessed it and given thanks. He broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, as we receive the cup, I ask your blessing upon this simple act of receiving and drinking, symbolic as it is of the step of faith required to appropriate that which Jesus has done for us. As his body and blood were broken and shed, we receive that which he accomplished for our good. We give you thanks because of him. Amen. In the same manner also we took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." for the final time as your pastor. I invite you to stand with us as we sing.
This the pledge to me, he help me then in every tribulation, so to trust His promises, O Lord, that I lose my faith's sweet consolation offered me within Your holy Word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, where to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Before I pronounce the benediction, let me give thanks for the food. You may go downstairs and be served immediately and take your seats for our final sharing time and a delightful meal together. Father, thank You for the joy and the memory of this morning, for the privilege of honoring and worshiping You and remembering Your goodness and faithfulness. Continue to bless our gathering. Bless the food to us and the hands that have prepared it for our enjoyment, our celebration, our rejoicing one with another. And we give You thanks for that privilege. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.